Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the BTW Beginner to Winner PvP podcast. My name is Chris, aka AstroZombie954.
My name is Jacob, aka Dino El Mágico.
And it's good to be back. We took a week off, and
it's good to have you back. You
know, yeah, healthy. I know. Thank you. And so this week we've got a special guest here. He's local from, you know, our neck of the woods down here in Florida. Great Pokemon Go player, does a lot of Twitch streaming. So I'm gonna let him go ahead and introduce himself.
Hey guys, it's Dominic, aka Pogo Doms is my tag name. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are good. You doing?
Doing awesome. Doing awesome.
Good. So yeah, before we start, you know, I just want to thank everyone in our Discord and everything for reaching out to me to make sure I was okay last week. It was a pretty rough week after my second vaccination, but
it sounded horrible. It sounded horrible. You were telling me.
It was terrible. I don't know if it balanced out. Like, I don't know if it was worth it now that I think about it. Like,
yeah, so that's scary.
My wife still makes me wear a mask when I walk into Walmart. So I'm like, what was the purpose of me getting this thing?
Oh, man. That's too funny.
But that second shot, everyone gets hit differently. So hopefully you're feeling a lot better now.
I'm like probably like 40%.
Really?
Know? Yeah, there's just some things.
True.
That I have to go get checked out, but I'll be fine. So a lot of stuff happened in the time that we were off, which is going to lead to a very information-filled episode. And it's perfect that we have Dom here because Dom knows a lot about this stuff. Probably more than I do, so he may take over my spot as host.
No.
Let's go ahead and start the show and jump into the Sylph Arena news.
Sylph Arena news.
So, I don't want to take up too much time on Sylph. The Commander Cup is almost over. I think we got the rest of this week, and that's pretty much it. They did announce the cup for June, and it's also the cup that they're going to be using for regionals. So, if you got your regional invitation, this is going to be the meta that...
What is the new cup called, by the way?
It's called the Venture Cup.
The Venture Cup.
Yep.
That sounds very interesting.
It's actually it's pretty cool. I like it a lot. I've spent most of my day yesterday kind of researching it, and luckily for me, this is very much if anyone's ever played fantasy football and done an auction draft where you have like a certain amount of money to spend on players.
Right.
This is pretty much the exact same thing.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that, though. I don't know if you ever like participated in any like Go Stadium tournament.
No, I haven't. Mm-mm,
no. They're actually the ones that came up with something like this, where you had to like you get like a certain amount of points to create a team. And a lot of people are like bashing on Sylph because, like, you know, they're not really original on coming out like with ideas, or they're running out of ideas now. Because once I saw that, I'm like, yo, this looks really familiar. Like, where did I see this? And I looked on Twitter and people are like, yo, like, this is what Go Stadium did. Like, this is why it looks so familiar. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my God, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to say Sylph stole or whatever. There could have been something that they did.
I mean, we feel like sometimes about it. Niantic takes Sylph's ideas with cups, remember? And like previous, like the Love Cup, that was like the Rose Cup in Sylph, I think.
Mm-hmm. Didn't like Remix or Retro Cup had some sort of inspiration as well, too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. See, I mean, you can say anyone like copies.
Like the Little Cup has been around way before they did it in GBL. They just called it, I think, what, the Baby Cup or something like that?
That I don't remember.
Because I had seen it before it even... I think it may have been a Ghost Stadium thing.
Oh, yeah, probably.
So I'll just kind of quickly go over this. I'm kind of torn. I'm going to ask you guys, you know, what you think. So I got a regionals invitation.
Yeah.
So obviously I'm going to do my part as a content creator and give out the information and, you know, picks and stuff like that. I'm just not going to say anything about what I'm running this time because...
just in case.
Yeah, just in case someone that is in my region is listening to it. I don't want to give away too many things. So
right.
If I'm a little vague on some of my stuff, you know, that's why.
I mean, I feel like it's normal. Like, I don't know if you guys noticed this. Actually, well, Dom probably knows more than I do, but I started noticing like a few players that are like high on the leaderboard in GBL that don't really stream once they get like super high on the leaderboard because they don't want to take their team, which is, it's normal. So like you doing that, I feel like it's kind of like similar.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. And props to the like content creators too, or the streamers where they've been hiding the names of the players that they're facing up in their higher elos just to respect that team comp.
They started doing that. Yeah. I saw that they started doing that. I'm like, why are they doing that? I'm like, okay, now it makes sense.
Yeah.
Because they don't want like other, you know, really good players that don't stream, for example, for them to take their team, I guess. But, you know, I mean, it's really nice. Like, I think FP6 does it. I think a few other ones do it too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been building up quite a bit, which I think it's a kind of cool respect for players. But at the same time, too, I mean, being content creators and streaming your stuff online, it's bound to happen that, you know, that your teams are going to be just shown online. But I think as a battler, I think it's also cool to come up with new teams and come up with new ways and strategies just to counter that, too, you know? It really challenges your skill set.
Yeah.
Right.
He's someone that I want to get on the show one day. Because he's probably one of my favorite people to watch. FP Sticks.
FP Sticks.
He just seems like a super nice dude, and like, I don't know. He's, you know, I like watching him. He's
extremely like knowledgeable. Yeah, it's crazy. Like I don't know how like
he
like keeps up with like some of these things that he says. I remember when Sylph was like the thing, like, you know, before, you know, GBL was like so hot. I remember that he used to he jumped on. I think it was like with like 10 other people, and at the time he wasn't like that good, and he was like, I guess, the lower tier out of those 10 players. And I'm like, at the time, I'm like, I don't really like hearing this guy because, you know, he's not like a top player, and now I regret saying that.
Yeah. So yeah, if anyone's listening and they're expecting to hear this month like kind of what I'm running, I don't know if people actually care, but I'm probably not going to do it. Plus, when I say it, like, I kind of feel like I'm locked in to certain Pokemon because I talked about it on the show, and I don't want to be locked in at all. So we're probably going to go deeper into this next week. It's a lot to kind of break down. I don't even think PvPoke has anything on this.
They don't.
Because it's so open.
Yeah.
And because you have certain Pokemon that are certain, you know, points and stuff like that, like, it's really hard to say what's going to be the top. So I'll kind of go over just, you know, the general outline of the cup. So this will start on June 1st and it'll run through the 30th. So it's your typical six Pokemon, 1500 CP max. You have 20 points, basically. So each player gets 20 points, and you have to build your team of six with those 20 points. Now, your bans for this cup are steel types, dark types, fairy types, and Chansey, and Megas, obviously.
Chansey? Yo, that is Chansey, so random.
This is like the second one that Chansey's been banned from, because he it was banned from the flying or floating city one for the factions. It was banned from that too.
That's funny. Did you guys use it for the, was it the Retro Cup? Like, mm-mm, did you guys ever go against one?
Yes, I have. I mean, it's just one of those timeout kind of strats, you know?
That, I don't know if you guys ever, like, actually, like, I used a fighter, actually, against the Chansey, and it seemed like I wasn't even doing any damage. And I literally wanted to throw my phone. Like, as soon as I see a Chansey, I just quit, because, like, no. I had no chance.
Oh my gosh, could you imagine going up a team that was bested on Chansey and Wobbuffet?
Well, Wobbuffet's another one that's super annoying. Yep. Oh my god, I hate that.
Just one set, because it was a blown set anyway. I ran Wobbuffet as a lead, and my Wobbuffet is like only at like 500 or 600 CP. That thing hung in there.
That is, like, insane.
It was crazy. I thought it was going to die right away, and it didn't. Like,
yeah, no,
I got off like two, what is it, mirror?
Mirror coat?
Yeah,
mirror coats. Yeah, I was able to get off two.
Dude, the thing is like, so annoying. It, like, the damage is barely, like, it barely does any damage, but still, like, it just hangs on for way too long.
So yeah, okay, so back on track, here we go. So there are four sets of points, and they each, you know, section, so you have 10 point Pokemon, 6 point Pokemon, 4 point Pokemon, and 1 point Pokemon. So your 10 points are Froslass, Altaria, Hypno, Alolan Marowak, Lickitung, and Cresselia. So those are your top guys. Then your 6-point Pokemon, Jellicent, Politoed, Kingdra, Dragonair, Lapras, Medicham, Talonflame, Galvantula, Defense Deoxys, Licky, Regirock, Snorlax, Munchlax, Vigoroth, Dewgong. So that's like our middle tier. Then the next one is the 4-point. Drifblim, Crustle, Mew, Pelipper, Wishcash, Swampert, regular Stunfisk, Champ, Alolan Graveler, Zangoose, Dragonite, Goodra, Dusclops, Celio, Wobbuffet, Lantern, Cradilly, Tropius, Gengar, Haunter, Mantine, Sirfetch, Parcharisu, and Abomasnow. Anything else
realized
that's not there?
This was like a Retro Cup thing, right?
Similar.
It's extremely similar.
Similar, yeah. Yeah.
That is gonna, because I'm like, wait, I'm starting to see a lot of Pokemon that are very commonly used in the Retro Cup.
Yeah, because let's see, Dark, Steel, Fairy.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. That was the ones that were banned in the Retro Cup.
Wow, I didn't even notice that. So they took that and then added a point system to it.
That is funny. So expect like lines that worked in Retro Cup for this cup.
Well, not necessarily, because remember, you only have 20 points to build your team, and you have to put six Pokemon on your roster. So everything that's not banned or mentioned in those three categories is 1 point. So
I definitely expect a lot of psychics for sure.
Yeah. Well, luckily Hypno is up 10. In the 10-point one.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, me personally, what I'm doing is kind of going through each point, like top points, and seeing which lower point Pokemon can beat those top ones.
Exactly.
And then, you know, try and try and build a team that's not like where I'm putting like Frost Last in and then I've got to do like a bunch of crap afterwards.
Right.
So it's pretty interesting. I found one Pokemon so far. I've only gotten through the 10 point and 6 point, but I found one Pokemon in the 4 point category that actually beats so far about 80% of the 10 point and 6 point Pokemon.
I think I already know what you're talking about.
And it's either your regular one or your shadow version. I mean, okay,
because if you said shadow, then it's not it. I was referring about Zangoose. Is that the one?
Zangoose would have some play, but I think it's going to be still squishy.
Because yeah. Zangoose, if it's in Retro Cup, was used a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
actually, he's a 4.1. No, but that wasn't it.
Okay.
It's going to help people out, and I'm sure someone else is going to figure it out. But Machamp and Shadow Machamp surprisingly beat the majority of... I wish I brought my paper with me, because I have it all written out. Beats the majority of these Pokemon.
I saw like some people were saying that they ran... Is it called Payback? Yeah, mm-hmm. on Machamp, and then hitting the psychics with it. Oh, was it you? Yeah, it was Dom.
I was playing one night in Retro with Payback Machamp, and yeah, that surprised a lot of psychic users.
Yeah,
that is so hilarious.
When I was doing my research, I was doing it all based off of like one shield scenarios. Mm-hmm. So obviously, it changes in a two shield. But in a one shield, you'd be surprised, like looking at the list of what it can beat.
Yeah, no, like you're like with energy, Machamp is like super scary for sure too.
Yeah, so that is one that I kind of have been noticing. So I'm still going through everything and kind of sorting it out because I want to make sure that I'm super prepared, but want to help everyone else that's in their regionals and stuff out too. So we'll probably go like a little deeper into it next week. So I don't really want to, because we've got so much to talk about when it comes to the rest of the stuff.
Yeah, I think we can like talk more in like to details next week about it.
All right, so then let's go ahead and move over to the in-game news, because there's a good amount of stuff going on in here. All right, so in-game, there is, I don't know if it's a good way to put it, a shit ton of stuff to go over. Especially missing a week. There was a bunch that came out.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things about what's come out is all the fairy stuff.
Yeah.
And we'll get into that but... They also announced, finally, a community day that I think, unless you're a shiny collector, I think everyone's pretty happy about.
I think people were actually, I don't know if you mentioned this, I think they're like, some people were mad about it, surprisingly.
A controversial issue.
I mean, when is there not an issue with like something that comes out, like either if it's good for, you know, if it's good overall, like people, there's still some people that are gonna hate on it. Mm-hmm. It's just how, you know, unfortunately the community is sometimes.
Yeah. I think the only like negative responses I've seen from this is from like shiny collectors, because
it's not gonna be rare.
A shiny Gible is like super rare.
Mm-hmm.
So now that it's not gonna be rare anymore, the value is like it's
I guess like I would be like a little upset if they like made like shiny like Pikachu Libre like for everyone.
Yeah.
So yeah. That's how I guess I can relate to it in a way.
Yeah. So that community day is Sunday, June 6th from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. local time. Gibble will be available during that time. If you're lucky, you will catch a shiny Gibble. There's, you know, take snapshots during community day for a surprise, which will probably be Gibble, because that's the way it is. Your community day box, 1,280 Pokecoins. You'll get 50 Ultra Balls, 5 Incense, 5 Lucky Eggs, and an Elite Charge TM.
Woohoo.
If you are a sucker like me, you'll buy the $1 research.
Hey, I love those $1.
I know, man. I don't
always get them, but I think I'm gonna get them for this one.
I get them just because so far they've given, like, you know, the rewards are good, but you get at least one fully evolved Pokemon.
Oh, really?
Normally, yeah. Like the last one is the fully evolved one.
What the heck am I doing?
Yeah,
I think for anyone that doesn't really grind, it's a nice opportunity just to get something, just to have it.
Yeah.
True. Interesting.
So this one is called Just a Nibble.
That's adorable.
Just a Nibble with Gibble. I'll give you this, man. Sometimes they'll steal stuff, but they come up with some pretty creative titles and storylines.
That's funny.
So that'll probably be in your shop probably sometime this week, since the 6th is what, next Sunday? Or two Sundays from now.
Yeah.
So it'll probably be sometime next week, you'll see, or the week after.
Does anyone remember when was the last time we got a community day that gave us like 3x Stardust? Because I feel like it's been a while.
Yeah.
Was it because Rift Raid?
The last one we didn't get it was XP, right? Or was it?
It was XP. Yeah. Yeah.
So like, are they like?
So they're pushing? Doing XP again?
Yeah. That's why I was like, wait, am I seeing this wrong?
Or was it Catch Candy?
I don't think so.
No, I think it's the same thing. I think it's the three catch XP.
Yeah, I was pretty sure the same thing.
Damn.
That's so nice. I don't know why.
Because I think the only one that was the candy was Magikarp, as far as I remember.
Yeah, Magikarp was.
Yeah, that was nice.
Yeah, 3x, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah. The last one that we got for 3x Stardust was on April for Snivy.
Snivy? Okay. So next
maybe month. Next one,
yeah, I think
I'm hoping,
yeah, the next one, July. So now the thing that people were kind of debating was what the community day move for Gibble was going to be. So if you evolve your Gibble all the way to Garchomp, it will learn the special move Earth Power.
How do you guys feel about that?
I think it's fine. It just gives another option for just for that damage. I think maybe
some people were actually mad about it.
Yeah,
because like I guess some people were expecting like maybe like Dragon Claw to give it like it would be like super scary with Sand Tomb, Dragon Claw, or even like Earthquake and Dragon Claw. Like that would be insane.
Mm.
Like imagine having that like just spamming out Dragon Claws against like a Dragonite or a Dragon Pokemon. Like, the Dragonite wouldn't even have a like, stand chance.
Yeah. I mean, it would definitely be broken. It would definitely...
I think that's why they didn't go that route.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, you don't necessarily need Earth Power if like, you forget to, like, evolve Earth for some reason, because Sand Tomb still has play, depending on, I guess, how you want to run your team.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah. I think I like Earth Power a little more than Sand Tomb.
Okay.
Just because if I'm correct, I think it does outputs more damage, right?
Yes, it does.
So
I don't remember how much energy it takes to it, but I know that it's good for the amount of damage that it does. And then another thing that like people were arguing, I guess they were kind of expecting its signature move to be taken out for community day, but it wasn't. Do you guys know the signature move for Garchomp?
Oof, I forgot, but...
It's, I think, called, like, Dragon Rush, I believe, or something like that.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
And, or something like that, but they were thinking that was going to happen, and then people started, like, mentioning that it could be that maybe, like, they do what they did with Charizard, they do it another community day for it, and then that's when the move comes out, I guess, because it would probably be, like, OP if it had that
move. So, I looked it up. So, Sand Tomb is 40 energy, 25 damage.
Yeah, but it's like,
but it's got 100% the defense.
Yeah,
defense debuff.
Mm-hmm. Is it just one time, right? Opponent?
I think it's one time.
Yeah.
Earth power is 55 energy and it's 90 damage.
Oh wow! Oh yeah, that's a lot.
There's a 10% stat boost, and it's the opponent drop defense drop.
Mm-hmm.
So it says one. So it does the same as far as your status effect, I guess.
Does it have a like some kind of like stat boost or something, or debuff on it?
Yeah, the debuff is a defense drop.
Oh wow! So but, it's kind of like a sand tomb, but it doesn't. It's not 100%.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane.
Yep.
I think it'd still be interesting for sure for PvP.
Yeah.
I mean, if anything, like grinds just to have two different type of Garchomps for sure, you know, just in case.
Yeah, I know there's going to be a lot of XL for sure Garchomps that day.
Yeah. It's, I mean, it's a pretty big difference as far as your stat percentage when it comes to the debuff. It's like 10% for Earth power, and then obviously 100% for the sand tomb. So it's just a matter of how you want to use it. But honestly, like I said, it's less energy and more damage. I'll take that over, you know, more energy and less damage and a debuff.
Yeah. I think they're just trying to make like both PvE and PvP players happy at the same time, and that's probably how they use their power.
Yeah,
I think it's a balanced move. I don't think it's anything wrong with it. I think I would love to see it actually have some play for Ultra League. Not gonna lie, I think having Sand Tomb and using the Community Day move, I think maybe would give it some chances. But who knows?
Yeah, I think you might be right.
Yeah, because when you think about it, so right now your charge moves, you got Outrage, Earthquake, Fire Blast, and Sand Tomb. PV Poke has, for Master League at least, Mudshot, Outrage and Earthquake. Like, you've got two nukes like that take what, 100 energy? Or is Earthquake
is 65
energy. 65, yeah.
And Outrage should be 50?
Outrage is 60.
60.
Yeah, so 60 and 65 if you were to run in like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess people can make a argument for Earthquake over Earth Power.
I think maybe for Master League, I think the movesets are going to be rather the same. Either double nuke or go for the Sand Tomb.
Sand Tomb.
Is there some situations where you want to have Sand Tomb still for like the Gyarados matchups or anything else that you want to get the debuff first before you throw the Outrage?
It's nice to get that shield bait. If I've shielded so many Sand Tombs that I regret, and it just hurts to get like waste a shield on the Sand Tomb. It's just bad.
Of course.
I think it's going to help it a lot more in Ultra Premier.
Yeah, I think so too, because I've seen... Actually, wait, maybe even Open, because... Is there more Charmers in Open or Premier? I don't really play Open Ultra that much.
For Open Ultra, there's still quite a bit of Charmers.
Okay. Yeah. Because I know in Masters, it had issues with Charmers, because most of them were Togekiss, and it's a flyer, so they're... Mm-hmm. Earth moves doesn't do anything, but if you do like Earth Power on a regular like Clefable or even Ninetales, like it's gonna do a lot because it's not gonna resist it.
Yeah. So if this gives us any indication, so in Open Ultra, PV Poke has Garchomp ranked at 170, and in Premier it's ranked 269. So it definitely has a harder time in Premier than it does Open.
Which would make sense.
Yeah, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, there's a rise in flyers in Premier, but then it has Outrage, so I don't think it makes that much of a difference.
It's probably this right here. So your top Pokemon in Premier, Galarian, Stunfisk, Abomasnow, Swampert, Skarmory.
There you go.
Yeah, it's not gonna.
Oh yeah, we get wrecked by Abomasnow.
And then Mandibuzz, Ferrothorn, Jellicent, and Sirfetch'd. Like, yeah, I can see it's definitely gonna be it'll help it, but I still don't think it's gonna have a chance anywhere but Master League.
I'm itching to use it now, though,
to make it work, just to defy the odds.
I would think so. Yeah, I think it'll be a fun pick.
Yeah, I feel like people are gonna use it for sure for like the first few days in Ultra when it comes back.
Yeah, I'm sure. So yeah, I mean that's Community Day. I'm not mad at it.
No, honestly,
I'm not mad at it.
Yeah, I don't see why anyone would, but you know, just people how they are.
Yeah. So the next thing we got here is a subject that I'm a little sore about.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. And that is May 29th. Niantic is partnering up with Verizon for a special ticketed event for Verizon customers. Now, I am a Verizon customer. Unfortunately, I'm a Verizon customer through business accounts. And I was informed that business accounts through Verizon are not eligible to redeem or to get these offer codes. So, if anyone listening is on a Verizon business plan, we are SOL on that. So, this is only for the people who have personal, like private,
which doesn't Verizon make sense accounts. To me why they would do that. If anything, I feel like they would honor it more with like a business. Like, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. I don't know. So this event is going to be on the 29th of this month of May, and it's going to run the 29th and the 30th, starting at 12 a.m. on the 29th, ending 11:59 p.m. on the 30th, and that is your local time. The ticketed event will give you encounters with Clefairy, Jigglypuff, Eevee, Meryl, Sableye, Stunky, Spritzy, and Swirlix when you're using your incense. I believe you have to use an incense to get those spawns. I think that's kind of like what it is. It's like an incense day.
Jeez.
Now, if you're lucky, I love when they use if you're lucky on shinies that have been out forever. If you're lucky, you'll find a shiny Eevee. So that's the shiny. The special shiny, because even though there's going to be unknown V, unknown S, and unknown Y, oh no, we're only getting unknown V. 7-Eleven gets unknown S, and then what is this? Yoshiyona gets Y. So yeah, your unknown V will be appearing, but it will not be shiny. So
I remember like when unknown like first came out, it was like super rare, and I used to like drive like places just to go get it.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, heck no, I'm gonna drive for that.
It's like I'll just wait for the next major event and get it from there. So with that, you'll also get an exclusive time research that will give you encounters with Eevee, Spritzy, Swirlix, and Dino. Dino? Yeah,
but
that's it. Either or.
Dino. You'll get a special Dino encounter. And then the exclusive time research will be available and rewards XP, Stardust, and Incense, Star Piece, a Lucky Egg, Spritzy Candy, Swirlix Candy. You'll have an increased chance to receive lucky Pokemon when you trade with your friends.
Nice.
This is such a bunch of BS. I want this ticket.
You also have an increased chance to become lucky friends when interacting with a friend during the weekend. You'll earn double XP for catching Pokemon and receive an exclusive medal when you redeem a ticket code on the offer redemption site. So that's for all the Verizon people. If you're not a Verizon person, you get this. This is our consolation prize. Starting on Friday, the 28th, at 10 a.m., running through Monday, May 31st at 10 a.m. And that's not local time, that is PDT. So I guess whatever that is. I don't know. I hate the time zone thing. The number of gifts you can open will be doubled, and trade range will increase to 40 kilometers.
I'll take that. Can't really get anything else.
Yep. Unless we switch into Verizon.
Yeah, yeah. Heck no.
Yeah. So that's it. That's what we get. And then everything else. What I thought was interesting is what Dina was telling us before the show about people actually selling these codes online for like ridiculous amount of money.
Yeah, I think it was dumb.
Or is it dumb?
Yeah. I was curious. I was looking it up. I'm like, man, I know people are gonna be trying to profit this stuff. And yeah, it was. I think they were trying to sell for like at least $40. That's crazy.
People just always try for, like, find a way to make money.
I mean, I need Sableye and Meryl Candy XL.
Are you considering
not $40?
No
need.
I think for this event, it's not worth it for $40. That's almost like. What is that? Is that a GoFest ticket?
Not even. Like, that's like two, right?
That's like almost three GoFest tickets.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
Last year it was like bucks? 15. It was like $15, I think. Yeah.
So like that's insane.
Yeah. So that I don't want to talk about it anymore. It's making me
I mean just to consider the Pokemon that you get for this event. I mean, we had Clefairy showing up for the past couple weeks. Jigglypuff, Eevee's been around. Meryl popped up for Spotlight Hour, which is what, actually this Tuesday, no?
Tuesday. Times catch pain or Stardust.
Yeah, and we got we had the limited research just around Mother's Day. So I mean, Spritzy and Swirlix, we've been getting these Pokemon, so there's not anything new. So.
The only thing that I'm a little jealous about is just like the Sableye being in the wild. Like that feels like nice for me because I don't have the XL version yet.
Yeah, but but actually it's only with incense now.
Exactly, so which is even worse, like that's it, like it's honestly it's not even worth it.
You know, you know that they sometimes throw those Pokemon in there just to get you to get the ticket, and you only see it twice, you know?
The spawn rate will be like 3%.
What was it for like this current one, which is like dark Pokemon, right? The event that we have right now?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't Alolan Grimer in the wild too?
Mm-hmm. I've caught one.
So I was gonna say that I caught one.
One,
and how I don't know how many days has the event been like this whole
it's
week?
It's been
already?
Like a almost
5 days.
Yeah,
I don't know
something
crazy, but like I seen one or two maybe.
Yeah, it's been a handful. Yeah, not much.
So like that's how I see it. Like as like compared to that, like certain Pokemon, it's just like you see it like once in a while.
It's better to walk your best buddy Sableye.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So that's the Verizon event and. So now the fun stuff. This is what I'm excited about. So Pokeminers did their thing, and they came out with a whole bunch of stuff past couple days, I think.
There was a day where their Twitter account was just like doing like tweets after tweets. It's like so much information.
So the first thing that came out, I believe, was... Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the first thing that they posted was about the new fairy moves that were added to the game file.
The funny thing is, like, people were talking about that, but completely, like, forgot. I guess no one was really talking so much about the charge move as much as the fast move.
Mm-hmm.
Because Charmers don't... Oh, not Charmers. That's what I call every fairy Pokemon. But fairy Pokemon don't really have a good fast move like that generates a lot of energy.
Mm-hmm.
So like once like people were going crazy like as soon as they saw like there's a new fairy fast move. So like I don't know if they came out with the energy and the damage that it does or anything like that.
I don't think so.
I
haven't seen anything yet. It'll probably being that the which kind of what we forgot to go over in the second part of this Luminous Legends event that's going on that starts on Tuesday and it'll run through Tuesday the 18th through the 24th. Oh, wait, no, hold on. I'm giving you the wrong dates. 25th through the 31st. Sylveon is going to be making its appearance. And Sylveon can actually learn this fast move, Fairy Wind. So I would not be surprised if maybe like sometime today or tomorrow we'll get an idea of what it's going to be. What do you guys? I mean, I know I'm a big fairy person. I love using them But what are you guys kind of hoping that this fast move is going to be? Like, you had to pick a current fast move for it to kind of clone or mimic.
I heard it being like, I don't know if it's true, but which would be nice, kind of like a Shadow Claw clone type of thing. Something around that, like, energy gain that it gets. That's how I see it possibly being. I don't see it being in, like, anything worse, because then it would just be like a completely let down on that.
Yeah.
Well, do we know which other Pokemon are going to get this move besides Sylveon?
There was a list.
I think I did have a list too.
Okay, I got it right here.
Cool.
So, Aromatis Tice? That's what Swirlix evolves into?
Yeah, I have no idea how to say that, so.
Yeah. Not Swirlix, Spritzy. Spritzy evolves into this. Cottony Flabébé? Flabébé?
That's a new one?
I don't know what that is.
That's a big.
It's got to be a newer one. Floet, Florgus.
A lot of random Pokemon.
Hoppip, Jumpluff, Clefki, Mawile, Mawile Mega, Skiploom, Slurpuff, Spritzy, Swirlix, Sylveon, Togekiss, Togetic, and Whimsicott. So those are all the Pokemon that can learn this fast move.
Hmm.
I know, like, in our little group chat that we have, our local group chat, me and I think it's our new flow we're talking about it. I think it's going to be a huge jump for Mawile, because I think that's what's been holding that Pokemon back for a while.
Yeah, it just has like Fire Fang.
Fire Fang, Ice Fang, and then I think maybe like one other Fang or something.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't really have anything to help it against fighters.
Right.
So it has Play Rough. So it's Fire Fang, Ice Fang, Bite, and Astonish. Those are its fast moves. So
yeah. Because the charge moves is not also like the greatest, but
Iron Head, Play Rough, Power Up Punch, Vice Grip, and then if it's a purified one, Return.
Yeah.
So I think this is going to help it a whole lot. And I think it's going to help also. Depending on what it does, it could make Whimsicott like a pretty freaking good Pokemon. Because it's already pretty good with the charm. And then I think it's Grassknot.
Grassknot, mm-hmm. Moveless, Hurricane.
And Hurricane. So giving it Grass Knot and then a high energy fairy move. Like,
mm-hmm. I think it's gonna be nice for that.
Yeah. So
I mean, considering the Pokemon that you listed, if it's all really true, I mean, just by process elimination, I mean, if it's a Shadow Claw clone, that would be dangerous, I would imagine. But I would imagine if it was something similar to like a Wing Attack clone, maybe even possibly like a counter. Because you have to consider, like, most of the charm moves, the fairy moves, are pretty slow with this energy cost and high damage. So I don't know if it would have something that would be similar to, like, a Volt Switch. I don't think that would even be a possibility. It would have to be something like a Vine Whip, possibly. A Snarl. Something that's just definitely going to, you know, bring up the energy for these mons.
It has to, yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking. I was hoping like a counter clone, something that's going to build energy fast. It'll give decent damage. And then the one thing that I like about this is with a new fairy move and an increase in fairies that have been coming out, I think that means we're going to be seeing that poison rework coming up soon, because you're going to need something to kind of balance it out, because otherwise these fairies are going to start
dominating
amok. Yeah, if this is like anything that's going to be like high energy, even if it's like a Snarl or like a, you know, a Shadow Claw or a counter type move, like, can you imagine Togekiss being able to charge up in, you know, a couple fast moves opposed to like what it does now?
Think about it, like some fairy Pokemon have, like, for example, Flamethrower. So, mm-hmm. like, even going against a Steel, like, you're going to have to shield. So
yeah,
that's mm-hmm. scary to think about.
Yeah. So, I mean, they normally do this whenever they build up one, you know, one typing, they kind of bring up the one that counters it. And I think poison's like the one thing that counters it that really hasn't been touched since the game started.
Yeah, I'm not gonna have my hopes up though, just because like imagine like you get so excited and then just it's a crap like move.
God, I would hate that.
I hope
so sad.
I think it would be interesting if it's a ice shark clone, something that can build energy, has a little bit of damage, but it's not like too overpowering.
Yeah.
It's got to be. Yeah, I mean, it's got to be high energy. If it's not high energy, then
what's the point?
What's the point of even putting it out?
But I mean, think about it too. Like, what was the last moveset change that they made? Like, just what was it? Two moves for Leaf Storm and I don't even remember the second one.
Payback.
Was it Payback? Yeah, did they add like some Pokemon? Like, that didn't change anything at all. Mm-hmm. So like that's why I'm like, I don't want to get my hopes up.
Well, it gave Roserade and Ludicolo.
Ludicolo has it? I didn't even know that.
Yep, Ludi. Yeah. Ludi has it.
Bro, yeah, that's
I went up against one of those last night during my set, and it wrecked me.
Oh my god.
It just...
I mean,
it's
when
so bulky.
When Remix Cup first started and they let go of that move on Roserade, that was a fun, fun first 3 days.
Yeah, it's the best time to use it.
too many people weren't expecting that surprise.
Yeah.
I think, what's his name? Dustin and J Farm, they were playing around with it in the beginning. And when I was watching them stream it for that first couple hours, I'm like, oh man, this thing is just doing some heavy, heavy damage. And I tried it for those first 3 days. I think I climbed easily like 250 points, I think, if I recall. It was crazy.
You used it as a lead, right?
Yeah, he was using it as a lead. It was intense.
Oh man, that's insane. It's the best time to use, like, whenever like new moves come out, it's like decent like that. It's best time to use it like the first couple of days. You'll climb a lot.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah. So one cool thing. So there's other stuff that's going on with the part two. Like the dark types are going to be more prominent. But the one thing that I think is cool is in 3-star raids, they're giving us Vaporeon, Jolteon, Flareon, Espeon, and Umbreon.
Oh, wow.
So Umbreon raids are going to be going off, like in Discords everywhere.
Trying to get that hundo.
And you don't have to wait. You don't have to try and evolve it. And it's probably going to already have a high CP because it's coming out of a raid.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, question is it going to have Last Resort?
Probably not.
Yeah, they did not mention anything about that, so I'm going to assume that that's a no.
So you're going to have to waste that.
Yeah.
If you do get a good one.
Yeah.
That lead charge.
So that's kind of it with what that event is. Now, within like what Pokeminers has found out, so there's new things. It looks like there's some new mechanics that are going to hopefully be added to the gym system. And then, let's see, it says new survival mechanic was added to gyms and raiding for your battle party during the battle. The game will now is now storing the following: the Pokemon that battled the longest, how long that Pokemon lasted, and the last time your active Pokemon entered the battle. I don't really see that it's done anything to make it make me want to do gyms any more than yeah,
that's for sure.
Yeah, that's like a whole nother big Twitter thing, and I know like people on Twitter have tried to bring us in on it, and yeah, they need to do something with it because it doesn't make me want to do anything.
Yeah, I just got a notification on Twitter for our podcast account. Mm-hmm. And for What team are we playing in the Silph faction right now?
The Ghost Stadium.
Guess who just followed us back?
Ghost Stadium?
Yeah.
Nice.
That is so random.
Yeah. Yeah. This week was a little rough.
Yeah, no, but it's all good. They have a lot of good players there too.
I will tell you what, if my opponent is listening, if you are, good games. Good games, girl. You came at me with exactly the opposite of what I thought you were going to, and I had no answer for it.
It happens.
Good games. There's something with this, like, quest stories. Dom, did you read through this at all?
I did a little bit. Honestly, now I don't remember at the top of my head. Not gonna lie.
I'm just trying to see if there's anything, like, really kind of relevant to...
Maybe they didn't, like, go into details on it so much.
No, something with property. I don't know.
Let's see. They're just talking about... I don't know. It just feels like it's with these paths and stuff like that. They're just giving you options for background colors and buttons and things that you can, like, have fun with. I think they're just expanding on rewards as well, too, for these quests. I think it's just maybe some fun casual stuff at the end of the day. Nothing, like, too serious. Mm-hmm. But at least, you know, they're just making some new changes. Hopefully they can develop it something a lot better than what we just talked about. Something that would really intrigue us to do something more. But
Yeah, that would be cool. Because the quest thing sounds interesting. I was listening to Pokemon Go Radio talk about it. And just, like, there's a little bit of speculation on it. And it sounds like it's going to be very... Like, you'll go through a path of a bunch of Pokestops, and it'll be a story along the way, and it'll probably be very themed, like, in the main series, like, Route 2 or, you know, Brilliant City or something. It'll be very themed. So, I'm sure, like, finding one that's, like, a ghost one, you know, or Ghost in Dark, where you can get Sableye in the wild or things like that, those are going to be pretty popular.
It's a nice little dynamic that they can definitely expand on, for sure.
Yeah. Yep. So let's see. So another thing that they found was the evolution requirements for Sylveon. So we're going to put it out there and say that for sure you will be able to evolve one Eevee to Sylveon using the Kira name trick, K-I-R-A. Mm-hmm. After that, if that works, if you need to evolve a second one. They didn't push the candy requirement, but I'm going to assume it's 25 because it all
they're all
25.
Yeah,
but you will have to earn 70 hearts with that Eevee as your buddy.
So make sure you use that name trick very well.
I think I know what you were going to say, Dom.
Well, go on, because I'm going to probably add on to it. I just remembered it.
Okay, so. Here's the fun fact that I found out. If you've already been walking an Eevee and you have hearts, those hearts do not count towards the 70.
Is it? That's what you're going to say, though?
Yeah, I was going to say that. I forgot about that, yeah.
So all of you people that were walking your Eevees for Sylveon, keep walking.
Oh my god, that
is... parting.
Yeah, that's annoying.
It's always better the second time around.
Yeah. What's the heart count for best buddy?
It's 300 total, I think, to max best buddy. So I know going up to, because you have either four stages, I believe up to your third stage is 150, and then the last stage is 150 hearts. So you're looking in between your second to third stage.
Okay. So, I mean, that's good. At least they're not making you best buddy it.
Mm-hmm.
So
that could have that would have been a lot worse, and people would have complained for sure.
And it follows suit with the main series game. Like, Sylveon is the friendship Pokemon, so it makes sense that you know, you've got to get your friendship level up something for it. I think 70 is probably good. What is that? That's your second heart.
I think it's second to third.
Okay. Yeah, that's really not that hard. And from what they're saying during this event, these AR mapping tasks are going to reward Poffins.
Oh,
so
that just caught my interest.
Yeah, so boom, right there, like, they're kind of helping you out here. So if you do those AR mapping tasks, you're going to get some Poffins, you know, load those up. If you're someone like me who doesn't get to build up a lot of hearts, like, I try and do every single one of these for the Poffins for my buddies, because if I don't, then I'm getting like 3 hearts a day. Because I just I don't have time to go through and get all of them.
I did the trick that I don't know who posted it, so I apologize if I don't give credit to them. But the what was like 14 days to Best Buddy? I don't know if you guys saw that. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure yep. Dom has mentioned it or seen it. So it's like very. I tried it at first, like I did it wrong, or I missed my like 30 minute window. So you can actually get your buddy excited without the puffin, but you actually have to like have a timer on your phone like every 30 minutes to do it. So like essentially you have to get, you know, feed your buddy, pet it or play with it, and then take the picture and then battle with it, you know, with the gym leaders, for example, 3 times. You don't actually have to use it. You can just be on your team, finish the 3 battles, and then you can either walk 2 kilometers or wait 30 minutes. So you put a timer for 30 minutes after you finish the last battle. And then after those 30 minutes, you do that thing again, except with the battles, you don't have to do 3. You can just do 1. And then I think you do that 4 times in total. And then it becomes excited. And then you can get more hearts.
Yep. Hmm. Sounds about right. I think walking speeds up the process.
Yeah, yeah, it does, but I can't walk. I do it at work, so
yeah,
it helps because every 30 minutes I just like put an alarm at work and then, you know, do the whole process again and then usually get it like that. And then if you don't even do the walking, you can at least get, what is it, 12? Because it adds something like that. It's more.
Yeah.
It's a lot more than what you would normally do in like the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think the 70 hearts is reasonable. I mean, if you want to throw the poffin on it, let's just call it, in your beginning stages is not going to maximize your bonus gifts. I mean, you're talking like 4 days.
Yeah. Because what is it, 24 hearts in total you can get, right?
Yeah.
So you would have to do like maybe in 4 days, like you were saying.
I don't think it is unreasonable whatsoever. So until we are 100% confirmed on all the moves for Sylveon, still like what we said on the episode where we kind of broke it down, stat-wise, the thing is going to be a beast. So let's see what these moves are, and hopefully it doesn't nuke it. I don't see why they would do that, but especially with adding a new fairy fast move.
Yeah, I'm excited. So
there was a new fairy charge move that was added, but the charge move only works on Volcarona.
That's probably why no one was talking about it.
Yeah, which seems to be, I guess, the next new Pokemon that's going to get released. But I didn't see anything in this part 2 of the event that says that there's going to be a new Pokemon added to the game. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to assume it's going to be sometime next month. Or they're going to wait until, what's it called? Go Fest in July.
Yeah, it could be.
So, that's pretty much what's going on in game right now. So let's get over to the GBL section, because I know this is what Dom and Jacob have been itching to talk about. Yeah, this is where I'm just going to sit back and just ask questions and learn. Let's go ahead and get started with the GBL section. All right, so GBL section, yay. So season 7 is coming to an end. When this episode comes out, it'll be done.
I mean, it's still going to be going, but it's on
ranked play. Yeah, ranked play will be done, and we'll be in the Kanto Cup.
Which I don't know why they haven't changed that. Why couldn't they do, like, someone, I think it was Artemis, he mentioned it. Why couldn't we do like Johto Cup, like something different? Yeah. Like
that would be cool.
Because like think about it, like no one really uses. Okay, maybe Swampert, maybe like Meganium. It would be used a lot from there, but not many Johto Pokemon are used. So that would be cool, I think, to see.
So I'm going to kind of let you guys, I'm going to ask you guys questions because you guys are the GBL people. What did you think about season 7? Like, this is now the second long season?
Yes, the second, yeah.
Do you enjoy the longer seasons? Or do you wish it went back to the shorter ones?
I personally enjoy it because I see that more people are hitting legend with this time frame. Because before, the people I saw that were struggling, was it like before it was like a month and a half per season, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah.
I know that there's a lot of people that struggled. And then I know there's like a bunch of people that are hitting legend that never hit it before because of the time frame that we're getting to finish each season. So I kind of like it just because I see more people getting legend, and it's nice to see that.
Yeah, I can definitely agree to that too. I mean, I think there was a conversation before where it's like a blessing or a nightmare when it comes to the longer season, but I think it gives a lot more people opportunity, like you're mentioning about, as far as reaching legend, because I think last season being the first longest season, it definitely gave me the opportunity to focus and reach legend, which was the first time, which was cool.
And yeah, you can like even ask Dom like how it felt like to hit it for the first time. So like it's an amazing feeling once you hit it.
Yeah, definitely it is. I mean, I think prior seasons when it was a lot shorter, that month and a half time, I was a little bit more of a casual player then. But even so, just to try, I always hit like around 2,800, close to 2,900. But I just didn't have that time or that focus just to hit legend. But yeah, definitely with these longer seasons, I think it's a cool opportunity for everyone just to hit it, at least get the opportunity to.
Yeah, because like you can like be busy like with work like a whole week, and like if you only have like a month and a half to hit legend, like missing like a day even, like it could be crucial. Now you can miss like a whole week and you're still like good to like still hit legend, you're on track. Obviously the downfall for, you know, some content creators, streamers, they say like that season becomes very like dull or very boring, because I mean what really is there after besides like climbing the leaderboard? And that could be like really stressful too, depending on like how you do it. If you're like just too good, like I know there's some people like that are on the first page every season without even trying. Like I'm not that good yet, but I know that a lot of people say like it gets boring seeing doing the same thing every season, and especially people like that had hit legend every season since season one. So I mean, for those people they might be different, but I just like it because I see more people hitting legend this way.
Yeah. I think for the ones that hit it every season so far, I guess it gives them a different perspective as well too, as far as what can you do to contribute back to your community. So
yeah, because like for me, example, like I don't necessarily like get bored even once I hit legend, because I also have other accounts I've tried hit legend on. So that's why for me, like personally, like I try to find things to not get bored of it, and like kind of like help me get better too, because with my other accounts I tried different teams, different ways to hit legend. And I don't know if Dom can like agree to this, but like once you hit legend like once, it for some reason it just becomes easier to do it like the next season, or you know, it just gets easier after that.
Yeah, definitely. I can, yeah, from last season, I think it was a day or two before Kanto Cup, just hitting it was such a relief. And coming into this season, it definitely gives you a different mindset as far as just focusing on each and every battle. And that's what I've been trying to push people that are trying to hit legend is, you know, yeah, it is that anxiety that you just want to hit it, and you want to have all the good vibes for it, but man, it's like just focus on the battles and you'll definitely get there without a doubt. It's a whole different perspective, but for sure it's fun.
Yeah, because who was it, Arnulfo, he actually hit it for the first time when he was always like stressing or getting like anxiety with it. But when he hit it, he actually dropped down to like 2,800, and then he went back up easily to 3,000. Like just because he already did it, you know, it just becomes easier after that. And he actually even said it himself, because he used to always like say like, "Oh, I'm never gonna hit it. I always get like stuck in the 2,800s." I know that he said that last season. He did say that for him, it helped him to get legend by sticking to one team and learning the ins and outs of it. And I always like tell people the same thing, because there's other people like that like to switch teams because they get bored of it, which I completely like, you know, agree. You know, it's boring to keep using the same team, but I feel like that's like a secret, unless if you're like King, that you can switch teams to Legend. And yeah. I'm like, I don't know how he does that. Like, he uses like meme teams and gets to Legend somehow.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's true. I think for someone that hasn't hit Legend yet, that's definitely something to definitely focus on is sticking to one team. I mean, yeah. I was just short with this season with the team that I used from last season. I did switch it up at the very end because I noticed like the meta, or at least those couple sets, were just slightly different. But I still used the same team from last season. It weren't XL Pokemon as well, too, which is a nice little thing to add in there. And yeah, I made it, basically.
Yeah, so that's awesome.
It's
nice.
It's fun using the same team because you really get to get down to the nitty gritty as far as knowing like what to do, when to switch, when not to switch, when to throw moves. It really gives you that extra advantage as long as you're very patient with yourself in the process of using that one team.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, actually, funny thing is in one of my chats for the Miami Battle Arena on Telegram, one of the guys just tagged me and he told me that he just got Legend with the team I gave him, which is the Swampert team. I don't know if I mentioned to you guys the Swampert, Shadow Hypno, Skarmory.
Okay.
So he just told me he got to Legend with that team. So I mean, it seems if anyone's still looking, by the time this gets out, for maybe next season,
yeah,
if anyone needs like a great league team, it's a really nice team besides the Bastion team that I was using before.
Nice.
So since you both hit Legend, and most people, I guess I would say like some people will say, you know, they ask you guys for advice because you hit Legend and stuff like that. But in the process of getting to Legend, even, you know, like Dino who's hit it like what, 3 years now?
I think it's
four times. And you hit it on two accounts, right?
Yeah. I hit it on two accounts this previous and yeah, so like seasons 6 and 5 or season, yeah, whichever seasons it was, but it was twice on that account.
Right. So even like in our conversation, me and Dino have like off of the side in our own little text message chat, there's things that he's like, oh, I didn't know. Like, I learned this, I learned that, or whatever. A lot of people don't think that like these people who are hitting Legend actually are learning anything throughout the season, which isn't true. I mean, everybody learns something.
Yeah.
So what were your guys' biggest takeaways from season 7? Like the one thing that you went, wow, I didn't know that before, now I do, and it helped you, you know, get that push into Legend or something like that.
Okay, I'll go first. So I don't know why it took me so long to realize this, but you know, a lot of people, for me, like, it's very surprising. Like, I'm not as good as, like, you know, Astro says I am. Because I say this just because, like, it took me up to season 4 to get to Legend. Just because, like, I didn't really have anyone to, like, ask anything. So, like, I'm glad I'm like, able to help other people out. And then there's just, like, the new peoples, like, John, for example, in our chat, Dom, that we have. He's, like, in the 2800s, and, like, he just started, what, like, last season, or maybe 2 seasons ago?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, It's insane how these people like are getting like good, like super fast. But one thing I did notice recently, which I don't know why I didn't catch on, when sticking to a team, there is something I noticed. For example, like I had a set that I was doing with like my Bastion team on my all account, where I got, for example, my Bastion ran into Stunfisk, 3 Stunfisk in a row. Like I literally like almost threw my phone. Like I was so mad. But I was just like, I was about to switch. I was literally about to switch to my Swampert team. And as soon as I was about to switch it, I'm like, no, I'm going to stick to it. And then on the 4th match, I went against an Altaria with my Bastion. So I'm like, all right, great lead. So I stuck in, I won that game. At this point, I'm in 1-3 because I lost the other ones. Sometimes I'm able to like flip the match, but for this one, it was 1-3. And then for my 5th match, I was like, all right, I'm still staying in, you know, I might get another good lead. I jump in and I get a Galvantula. So, like, that's an amazing lead. And then I ended up pulling 2-3 from that set. And then I was like, I don't know if I should switch or should I stick with the same team? And this is where it comes into play, like, sticking to the same team. And that's the mindset a lot of people think, like, oh my God, I had a bad set. I have to switch the team. You know, it's maybe like the time frame, you know, some people say, like, you get bad leads with a certain time that you play. So I was like, all right, no, I'm gonna stay in. And then I jump into the next set. First lead I get was a Lateria. I'm like, okay, you know, I'm gonna stay in with the same team. Second, another Altaria. Third match, Obama Snow. So I'm like, okay, I'm 3-0 right now. Like, what's going on? But for some reason, like, it seems like, I don't know if it's just in my head, but it seems like if just because you have one bad set doesn't mean like that you're gonna have you know, bad sets the rest of the day. You obviously, everyone has those bad days, but I think sticking to a team it just helps. Even with my alts, like with my alts, I get sometimes stressed out, even myself. And I switch the teams just because I'm like, all right, I'm doing bad. But I notice that like whenever I stick to a team now, like for some reason, I end up getting good leads like the next set.
Yeah.
Makes complete sense.
Good point.
Yeah.
How about you, Dom?
I think for this season, I mean, there's a lot of factors that come into play, but I think the three biggest ones for me would be absorbing more content. So I was much more aware and focused on watching other content creators, mostly through Twitch, the ones that are very experienced, best, especially in the leaderboard situations, just focusing on just how they play, how they make their moves, and the notes that they will usually say off and on their sets. Definitely, yeah, sticking to the same team is very, very important too. Even when you do have your bad sets as well, just like we just talked about. And I think just learning some new mechanics along the way, like I think this season for sure, the common denominator that I was picking up quite a bit, which I'm surprised, I don't know if content creators were really pushing it or not, was understanding CMP tie situations and gaining as much energy as you could. Just up to that point, I'm knowing like if your Pokemon can win that CMP tie, you know, best believe try to take advantage of that energy because it really turns and switches battles at the end game if you play it out just right. But like overall, I would say being that it's a longer season that, you know, don't play too much in your own head as far as if you're going to make it or not, or just because like you just said, Jacob, you know, having a bad set, you know, you shouldn't play. I think it's always a mental game. And I think also learning this season, you know, it's okay if you want to take 3 days off and not battle, or if you know, like your mind just is not right when you want to play your sets, it's okay to wait a couple hours, take a nap, eat something good or exercise, do something that gets you focused when you're actually playing your sets. Because I mean, that's right there is just a whole game changer right there. Because if your mind is just not focused and not set, then there's no way that you're going to be like optimizing your games and your situations when you're actually playing.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. I actually did notice that more before, like whenever I used to do like three battles that I lost because I got bad leads, it just got me like in a bad mood for that set. And even if I won the lead, I would somehow mess it up because I'm like in a bad mindset. And that's why, like, even if you get the lead, but you're in the wrong mindset doing the battle, then there's no point, you know, because you might still lose, make misplays because, you know, you're not playing like with your whole attention to that game. So it's always good to just like put the phone down, take a break for like an hour, or, you know, go eat something and then just come back to it later, you know, then maybe you'll just have a better set after that.
It's true. Oh, yeah. Now I remember. So the other thing I think is what I've learned as well too, which is being more coming from a casual player into someone that wants to be more serious into PvP, GBL, is to play your best hands, you know, and take advantage of what you're really good at. So in the very beginning, the previous seasons, I didn't really have any Pokemon, for example, for Master League. So I never really played it too much until they released Master Premier. But even so, I was kind of realizing on my journey to Legend is that I was really, really good in Ultra League Premier. I mean, that was my best league that I can just jump really, really quickly. Granted, you know, with these new events that come out, like the Remix Cup that we had, you know, I was doing very good those first couple of days using the Roseray lead in the beginning. And then all of a sudden, I dropped like 250 to 300 points, and I'm just like, oh man, this is not a good feeling. You know, you're so close to 2900, and then you drop 300 points, you're pretty much back around in like the 2600 ELO. But I'm like, you know what? Ultra League Premier is coming back. I know I can swing, you know, back forward. And I just waited, you know, and that's what I did. And that's how I got to Legend, you know, just knowing your strong sets, your strong hands, and just knowing like what your weaknesses are and just, you know, learning and trying to expand your knowledge on your weaknesses just so you can get better. But that's what I did too, is, you know your strengths and weaknesses and play that to your advantage as well too.
Yep. Yeah, for real.
Cool. So we've got season 8 coming up, and I don't want to get too much into it. You know, I think maybe we'll have Dom back on again and we'll go over what to look forward to.
If he wants to come back.
Yeah, if he wants to
come back. Oh, for sure.
What to look forward to for season 8. And then I also kind of want to talk to him about counting, you know, move counting and stuff like that. So, because he's, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're another big person on playing with sound and counting moves.
For sure.
You're not play with sound. Yeah. So it's always, you know, it's a debate we always have, is to play with sound or not. So it's nice to have someone, you know, else that plays with sound and kind of get their take on that. So we'll definitely have Dom back on. But before we end the show, so what is one thing that we can let our listeners know for the rest of this week to be like, what's the one thing that they should be working on to get ready for season 8?
As far as you're referring to as like the counting move situation or
anything, like what would be the one thing, like for me, okay, for example, like my goal was to hit 2500, and like for some reason I just kind of plateaued at like 21, between like 2000 and 2175, somewhere in there, like almost 2200. Like I just kind of fluctuated in there. Like what would be the one thing that you would tell someone like me to help like get up over into that 2500 mark?
I think from what we just discussed a little bit earlier, I think still going back to some content creator videos, I think FP Sticks has came out with some in-depth videos, for example, as far as some GBL mechanics that I think are very informative. I think King IV as well has come up with a video or two of, I think it was talking about how if you're stuck, for example, in the 2700s, what are like the two or three things that can switch the matches to make things work to your benefit to hitting legends. But I think definitely analyzing your gameplay, sometimes the team comp that you're using, just to see how things are actually working out. I think for myself this season, what made a difference for me was definitely the counting move situation. So understanding how many fast turns it takes to get to a charge move with the most common, let's just say like top 25 Pokemon, because it's typically what you would see in every league is the top 25-ish. I mean, granted, you'll find some few other ones that are spice or something that's a little bit different. But I would say if it's something that you haven't seen before, write it down, just study it a little bit and just get familiar with like the Pokemon that you use. For example, if you want to stick to that one team, knowing how many fast moves it takes to you get to, until you get to your charge move versus like the other Pokemon that you may come up against and use that to your benefit. Because I think understanding that alone can affect your way of knowing like when to switch, when you can have advantage of taking extra energy so you can use it onto the next Pokemon, when to utilize shields, because sometimes, you know, you may think you may need to use a shield, which you may probably don't have to. And then you can, you know, stack up on some more energy before you jump into like the next Pokemon or the next move, depending on how like the situation turns. So I think those things are really, really important as far as just understanding those counting moves situation and taking advantage of like energy and sometimes your shields.
Yeah. No, that's one thing that I've learned, I think, the most working with Dino the season is knowing like when to store my energy and not just start throwing my charge moves as soon as it's, you know, as soon as it builds up. I think that was like the biggest improvement I feel that I did this season was actually knowing like to hold off, like, you know, if I'm using Swampert as a lead,
you know, hold off on your hydro cannon until you have a second one, because you may need to throw back to back, or you may need to throw that and then an earthquake and, you know, things like that. And then that and knowing my typings still, like, for someone who, like, I played the, like, the card games and stuff like that, and I have a general grasp on the typings, but sometimes, like, when I get into a battle, like, I just forget what, like...
There was one, like, what was it, actually, earlier today? Last night?
What was it?
Barathorn?
Yeah, I was saying, I was like, oh, I would have beat you if my Owen Sandslash had Bulldoze. And you were like, please don't tell me for Ferrothorn. And then I was like, oh yeah, because grass makes it.
It's neutral because, like, of the grass.
Yeah. Because then, because, like, you look at it and you're just like, oh, well, that's a steal. So, you know, the ground. To do.
Yeah, you gotta know, that, like, when something is neutral, stuff like that.
Yeah, I noticed that actually a lot this week. I've been using Sirfetch'd in Great League. And a lot of people throw fire moves at it because it looks like a grass type Pokemon. And
yeah, it has that, like, what is that? Stick?
Yeah, the leaf looking stick and the shield.
And shield, yeah. So I was like, why are they throwing, why are they switching into a fire type? Like, this is.
That's funny.
Yeah.
But I think to add on to that, though, I think. Taking maybe baby steps. So if, let's just say, the typing is kind of your weakness, then, you know, let's go back to the basics and start with, you know, fire, grass, and water, and then just slowly add up onto that repertoire of typings.
Yeah.
Because the other common ones that we're seeing more and more on a daily basis is the steel, the charm, and or fairy, and darks. So it's like, once you start, I guess, understanding the single type moves and what, you know, what they're weak and super effective with, then you can kind of, like, mix and match. And that, I guess, that's how you can start figuring out, like, okay, you know, yeah, the steel and the grass, it's neutral with ground.
Yeah. I think that plays a big part into, like, what Jacob was saying about, and even you kind of reiterated, sticking with one team. I know I'm guilty of that, of not doing it. I think this last week it was just kind of, I had a core and I just kind of played around with one of them just so I wasn't losing, you know, any more Elo. But sticking with, like, that team, you learn, you know, the ins and outs of the Pokemon, and using maybe a Pokemon that isn't very common or something that's, you know, not meta, that gives you an advantage also over, like, a lot of things. Like, I remember in, I think it was one of those Silph Cups where Jumpluff was, it was in there, but it wasn't, like, a super, like, meta relevant one. And I was using it and I learned, like, Jumpluff can take two Rock Slides. Like, you know,
yeah,
Jumpluff can take a Thunder where you wouldn't think that. Same thing with Mandibuzz. Like, I learned this, you know, using Mandibuzz, like, that thing can tank a lot that you wouldn't think it could.
Yeah.
So, you know, that helps. Yeah, playing with those Pokemon for a long time.
Yeah, because I was going to say, like, think about it. If you keep switching teams, you're never going to know that. You're never going to learn how much a certain Pokemon can take, you know, for something. For example, like, you're never going to know, like, every, like, for example, with my Swampert team, even my Bastion team that I use, I know every single lead that I have to, like, switch out from or stay in or stay a little bit longer. But if you keep switching teams, you're gonna, you can't keep track of that. That's too much. Like, it's like, for me, at least, I mean, there's people that are, like, super good that can play different teams, like, you know, King, like I've said, and he knows, like, how to play every like, way possible. But, like, for me, like, I can't keep up with so many teams. So I gotta stick to one and, like, memorize. And that's what I suggest for anyone that's trying to get Legend for the first time. To do that first, and then maybe if you want to, like, expand your knowledge into, like, switching teams to get to Legend or challenging yourself, you know, do it. But, you know, if you really want to hit Legend, I that's what I at least suggest to do.
Cool. All right. So I don't really have anything else to kind of go over for this week. You guys got anything you want to add?
No. Dumb.
I don't think so. I mean, coming up with Kanto Cup, just take advantage of that Stardust.
Oh, yeah. Just take advantage of the Stardust. Like, I know people are saying they're going to take a break. Yeah, you can take a break, but I know, like, for me, like, I need that dust from GBL. So,
yeah.
Definitely need to play it.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yep. So, Dom, before we, you know, finish up the show, you want to let... I know you stream quite often. You want to give yourself a little promo out there, let people know where they can watch you?
Yeah, appreciate it. So, I do stream... I try to stream Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, usually 9 p.m. Eastern. Depending on the schedule, sometimes it could be a little bit later. I sometimes can stream any other day besides the Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Those are like the bonus streams, typically around the same time. And then if you also want to see some YouTube content, I do have my own YouTube channel. So you can see everything at Pogo Doms. It's P-O-G-O. And then Doms, D-O-M-M-M-Z-Z. So 3 M's, 2 Z's. And you can just see me through Twitch or YouTube.
Awesome. Awesome. And hopefully we will have Dom back on shortly, especially getting into the next season and kind of pick his brain a little more. So that's pretty much it for the show. So I'm going to go ahead and thank all of our patrons at all the tiers. A special shout out to Mr. Batfleck and JD Mojo Jojo at our supporter tier. Our producers, King Flip, Papa Rec, Discord admin, Wildcat Dad, who thank you so much for this past week helping me out, not being able to do much. So I really appreciate him really kind of stepping in and taking over and helping out. You can follow us on Twitter, BTW PvP Podcast. You can email us, btwpvp@gmail.com. We've got Patreon and a merch store. You could check out our Twitter. We have the links for that there. And that's pretty much it. So I'd like to thank everyone for listening to the BTW Beginner to Winner PvP podcast. I am AstroZombie954.
And I am Dino El Mágico.
I am Dom with Pogo Doms. And until next time, good luck and get good, guys.